pop quiz. How many books in the Bible are named after a woman? Think about it.
Two.
Who said two first? Oh, Jess. Gold star. Excellent. Yes, name them. Please, Alice. Ruth and Esther. All right, gold star. Your Sunday school teachers would be proud. Gold star. Yes, a few weeks ago we heard from Lauren Zayu and Pastor Elijah on the story of Esther for such a time as this. And today we have heard from my other favorite Lauren, Lauren Hovis, thank you, about solidarity from the story of Ruth. So much estrogen. I love it. This book is called Ruth, though some scholars believe that might be a pun because Ruth's name means friendship. And depending on how you read the story, it could be more about Naomi than Ruth, depending on how you read it. This book is a story of friendship and commitment, patriarchy, legal technicalities, and much more. Like any healthy friendship or most relationships in general, there is this sense of mutuality. Ruth and Naomi mutually support each other. Across their religious differences and generational divide, remember Ruth is Naomi's daughter-in-law, and Ruth is a Moabite, so not a Hebrew or an Israelite like Naomi. These women find common ground as they are up a creek without a paddle, without a compass, and without any bootstraps to pull themselves out. Socially and legally, they basically only have a few options. And this was common for widows as they dealt with the death of their husband. They can beg for their needs to be met. They can marry a brother-in-law, so their deceased husband's brother. Maybe return to their father's household, or they die. That's about it. Imagine in the midst of the fog of grief, feeling a sense of panic because your sense of stability and panic, a sense of stability and safety net are gone. Maybe you don't have to imagine. Maybe you've had an experience like that. Maybe you know desperate times call for desperate measures. Like many immigrants, Naomi hears that conditions are better elsewhere, in their case, Judah. And verse 1 in our passage says that Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, are originally from Bethlehem, but moved to Moab. Now, Naomi is returning to Bethlehem in Judah because there's more food available there. So the name implies provision because the name Bethlehem means house of bread, and I'll say further commentary on that for perhaps a more Christmas-oriented sermon. But if that sounds interesting and convenient to you, you're in good company. So Naomi and both of her daughters-in-law hit the road. Doesn't that sound like a good time? Naomi tells Orpah and Ruth to return to their mother's home or their mother's quarters of the home. Perhaps she specifically said mother's home because this would be a place of comfort and arrangements for a new husband would begin there. Essentially, Naomi blesses them and releases her daughters-in-law to move on. Orpah and Ruth insist they want to come with Naomi, but Naomi says, listen, I'm really sure. I have nothing to give you, really. No husband, no security. It's okay. Go home. No hard feelings. Orpah, whose name means back of the neck because she turns and leaves Naomi, leaves to go home. Fine. No problem. That's what the mother-in-law said. Do that. Ruth, stubborn woman that she is, the text says, clung tightly to Naomi. This Hebrew word, davka, say that word, davka.
Davka.
Davka. Excellent. It means clinging. So it's the same word used in Genesis 2:24. Recall that verse describes leaving one's family of origin and clinging to a spouse and marriage covenant. It can and should be read sexually. It is a special type of covenant. There's an intimate and special relationship that Genesis is referring to. This davka, this clinging, can and should be read as covenant language. In the context of Ruth and Naomi, think about it. This sounds a little gay, doesn't it? In fact, verses from Ruth 1 are commonly read or incorporated not only in straight weddings, but often in same-gender-loving couples' weddings. After all, these are two women in the Bible covenanting together. Sounds a little gay. Just to be clear, I'm not suggesting that Ruth and Naomi married each other or had a sexual relationship of any type. Rather, this is language to cue us into a powerful, intentional covenanting that is sacred. Covenant is a sacred promise. And this covenant language continues into the next verse after all this clinging. When Ruth says these deeply passionate words to Naomi in verses 14 to 17, she's not simply stating her love or appreciation for her mother-in-law. She's making a commitment to Naomi and to Yahweh, the God of Naomi. Ruth is a Moabite. She is a Gentile. With each binding by death promise and commitment, she refers to Torah, the Jewish laws and customs. Are you ready for this? Where you go, I will go. She is saying, I know Torah says we may not go beyond 2,000 cubits on the Sabbath, so I'll go as far as you do. I trust you to lead me. When she says, wherever you lodge, I will lodge, she's saying, I know the Torah prohibits women to be secluded with a man who is not her husband, so we'll protect each other's reputations, which is frankly all we have at this point. Your people will be my people, meaning the Israelites are separated from the other people groups by these 613 commandments. So let me fully join this community by choice. When she says, your God will be my God, she says, I know Torah forbids idolatry, and we will keep these commandments together. Ruth essentially says to Naomi, I will be with you and in agreement with you and your faith and your values. I will be loyal to you and your God and your people. At the end of each of our services at Calvary, we have this open space. If you come from a more evangelical tradition, you might call it an altar call. If you come from a more progressive or higher church tradition, it's we sing a song and sometimes people walk down the front. If you are a member, more than likely we have responded to you publicly, sharing your intentions to be a faithful member of Calvary with these words. We give thanks that you have been guided by God to this moment. As a community of faith, we welcome you into the membership of this church. We pledge, or covenant, to love each other and to work together to grow into the fullness of Christ. This is covenant language. At this time and season, working together to grow into the fullness of Christ looks like solidarity with immigrants, especially those among us. This solidarity looks like breaking down and resisting problematic and oftentimes false binaries, such as us and them, American and immigrant, deserving and undeserving. Justice requires us to move beyond the greatest commandment, a loving one's neighbor. We are to go above and beyond love expressed as care or casually checking in, to love expressed as solidarity. Solidarity looks like going above and beyond. Going above by asking for God's help and the Spirit's guiding wisdom and maybe even a big dose of courage. Going beyond by pushing yourself beyond your experiences to see life through another person's eyes. For example, if you are an immigrant who has been in the United States for a long time, consider what life would be like, or what life is like, for more recent immigrants. If you are an American whose first language is English, consider what life might be like for immigrants and others who do not know English. Solidarity looks like resisting the urge to patronize, or in the context of today's story, matronize. This has been an area of significant growth for me these past 3 years, particularly as I have pastored and learned from the wisdom alongside Pastor Elijah and you, Calvary. I continue to grow and moving past a charity or pity model that I was raised with and closer towards true friendship and solidarity and effective advocacy. And if you're someone like me who struggles with whatever privilege you might have, and you struggle with responding to needs and injustice with patronizing, name it. Acknowledge it. Work on it. I believe it's core to faithful Christian living in our times. Solidarity means dropping modifiers. Throughout the text, Ruth is constantly referred to as Ruth the Moabite. Yes, being a Gentile Moabite is essential to her identity, and I would not want to erase that. There are also many parts of who she is and what she has to offer and how she contributes to this story. As we've been listening to different people's stories during Unplugged, and even other times as we have been building relationships with one another, it's important to resist knowing people as only one part of their story. Just as you yourself are complex and intersectional, so is everyone else. Ruth is more than a Moabite, and she's more than a friend, as her name suggests. Naomi is more than her mother-in-law, and more than pleasant, as her name suggests. They are partners, equally important partners in their mutual solidarity. Solidarity looks like joining Naomi in crossing boundaries of age, nationality, and religion, as scholar Mona West calls out. Solidarity is walking the path with another person. Naomi and Ruth go beyond friendship into an intentional choice to covenant together and to figure out the reality of their difficult situation together. And may we do likewise. Amen.